Meanwhile, Macron is on a three-day state visit to Beijing, where he's holding talks with Chinese Premier Li Qiang. Macron will meet President Xi Jinping later on Thursday. Lena Abu Akleh has more.
This is Emmanuel Macron's first visit to China in 4 years, with the aim, he says, of engaging Beijing toward a shared responsibility for peace and stability. China says it's seeking to play a mediating role between Russia and Ukraine. Some Western powers fear Beijing may instead be preparing to send arms to Moscow. But the French president says he doesn't believe China wants a lasting war in Europe.
China has proposed a peace plan, and we have welcomed it. But do we agree with it in its entirety? No. But it is interesting, and it shows willingness to commit to resolving the conflict. I hope to be able to participate in initiatives that are useful to the Ukrainian population.
Macron and Xi will also discuss development of bilateral relations and boosting economic ties. In that, too, President Macron is charting a different course. In Washington, the talk is increasingly about decoupling from China's economy. And the European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, set to join Macron in Beijing, spoke last week about de-risking Europe's business connections with China, while still calling for sustained relations. The trip has been welcomed by China's business community.
I think this visit can further promote and strengthen trade between the two countries. In the era of globalization and interdependence, European leaders are not in favor of decoupling ties and want to continue strengthening cooperation with China.
At a time when the U.S. is taking its toughest stance on Beijing, every nuance of these talks will be watched closely. Lina Abu Akleh, Al Jazeera.
Well, let's bring in Brian Wong. He is a Rhodes Scholar and geopolitical advisor. He joins us from Hong Kong. Thank you very much for being on Al Jazeera. First of all, how delicate a balance is this for Macron, pushing for stronger economic ties while at the same time trying to warn China not to side with Russia when it comes to the war in Ukraine? How does he manage that balance?
Thank you very much for having me. And I would say that actually Macron is straddling two sets of delicate balances. The first set is, as you noted, the economic attempts at establishing deepening ties and also resuming trade relations in the aftermath of COVID. That's certainly an objective that Macron has on the table. And yet the extent to which that would inevitably be coloured by or diluted by the broader geopolitical friction remains to be seen. And one could only remain hopeful and optimistic that, you know, Macron would be able to navigate some sort of tendentious balance in rhetoric and also substantively pushing forward, I guess, better policies on the ground, despite remaining rhetorically committed to, I suppose, a more cautious recalibration in European policy towards China. And the second straddle that he must also consider is French national interests versus the broader interests of Europe. As he flagged, he's coming on a trip alongside the Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, and this is a signal that France does not want to be, you know, separated or decoupled from, and if anything, would like to play a leading role in steering Brussels' policy towards China. So there's a clear affirmation of the European identity there. And yet how Macron can balance that against a growing and rising tides of Sino-scepticism amongst many of the members in the European Union, that's, again, a delicate balance that he must navigate with care and prudence.
Do you think he'll be able to do all of that in a three-day trip?
I don't think he'd be able to do all of that, but I certainly think he can make some promising progress and headway in two distinctive ways. The first is
what does that look like?
Ensuring.
Sorry to interrupt. What would that look like at the end of this trip?
I think that looks like essentially, firstly, an affirmation that China would remain fundamentally committed to not supplying lethal aid and military arms and equipment to Russia, but also an attempt to broker a sort of medium to long-term ceasefire and peace talk schedule. And that comes in the form of effectively outlining expectations as to where and when and with what agenda items in mind these peace talks are due to be carried out and conducted in the medium to long-term horizon. But I don't see, you know, any immediate breakthroughs as likely, simply cause geopolitical environments at large don't favour it. Sino-American relations remain fraught, and there's clearly deepening trust and also strategic interdependence when it comes to China, Russia and other members of the BRICS nations and Central Asia at large. So I do not see, you know, sort of this détente and breakthrough as likely.
Yeah. We saw President Xi meet with Vladimir Putin not that long ago and put forward the China's peace plan to try and end the war in Ukraine. What sort of role, I mean, how realistic do you think it is that China will play a significant part in negotiating any future peace?
So I think two things essentially on that. The first is that China is definitely keen on establishing, you know, a clearer presence and more vocal presence in neutrality and pacifism on surface. And the peace plan affirms, you know, effectively its ploy to play to the global south and also its affirmation of not being interventionist and not taking sides. And yet in practice, the real question and challenge for China is, firstly, will it be able to convince Ukraine that it is a good faith actor that is willing to indeed negotiate and mediate in an even-handed manner? And secondly, will the European Union, especially the countries that are currently wavering and more critical of China's role and presence, be willing to come on board that very process of mediation and talk it out with Ukraine? When not the White House reciprocates is, again, the third determinative factor. And that's also a factor that China has to bear in mind and caution against as it seeks to set guardrails in Sino-American relations. One of the core objectives of that, too, is to get America, at the very least, to not object and to actively oppose its efforts at attempting to broker a China-favourable or, more broadly speaking, global South-favourable peace package over Ukraine. And that, to me, is a vital question there.
OK, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. That is Brian Wong, a geopolitical advisor in Hong Kong. Thank you.
Thank you very much.